How many times your concept of justice didn't match up with God's concept of justice? And you sought to get revenge on somebody who wronged you. Has anybody done that? Oh yeah, I have. So what we're doing is we're saying our sense of justice, our timing of justice, our how somebody should be punished, we've taken into our own hands. And here you are doing everything that's right, and you're struggling. It is hard. It is hard. And I'll do you one better. Not only is it hard to refrain from wanting to take that justice into your own hands, but to extend to them a blessing. Right? Yeah. That's a blessing. When we pray for somebody, for their good, that's a blessing to them. Especially if that somebody is not a Christian and we see them doing wrong, either, and sometimes it's worse if we see them doing wrong to a loved one, right? Or to a friend. We want to fix that, but we want to fix it our way and not God's way. God's way is we share the gospel with that person. We share his love. We share his grace that he bestowed upon us, right? That's the way we wait. Because when we don't do that, we don't have faith that his word is quick and powerful, right? Able to change hearts and minds. Yes, ma'am. Right. The key is love. The key is the right kind of love. Jeremiah 10:23 says, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct himself. So we can't take our definition of love. We have to take God's definition. Love for God is the first commandment. Deuteronomy 6:4-7. And as it was commented earlier, Matthew 22:34-40. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So love is keeping God's commandment. Love for God is demonstrated through obedience through his commandments. There can be no higher love for God than to keep his commandments. A lot of times, what we think is love is based upon how we feel. It's based upon what we believe, what we've been taught. And sometimes we adopt some of the thoughts of the world. And this could be further from God's definition. Now, in every situation, God has given us direction. He's given us command. No matter what we face, we see in 2 Timothy 3:16, 17, many of us can quote this scripture. But do we have faith in this scripture, a believing faith that impacts our actions? Do we really say, oh, I need to know how to handle this person, or I need to know how to handle this, let me search the scriptures for it. Let me let the scriptures impact us, impact our actions. Yes, and let me ask you this. I understand. And that's the initial reaction we always have to battle against. We always have to battle against our fleshly desires. Old man. We have to let that new man shine. And it is very, very difficult. But it can be done. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Got to be like Jesus, right? When he prayed 3 times in the garden, but he said, not my will, but your will. We look at God's word, and we can refute all of those situational ethics. Sometimes we could see ourselves doing some things that are just contrary. You know, Romans 3:8 says, and why not say, let us do evil that good may come, as we are slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, their condemnation is just. We can't do evil in the name of good. We can't lie to make somebody feel better, thinking that that's good. Yes, sir. Well, you could argue that, but what are you going to use to back up your argument? Yes. Yes. And because we like, what is a noble thing to do? It's to protect God, right? Sometimes, let's bring it back to today. We act like Peter. We see somebody putting God down, defaming his name, using his name in vain, and we want to be like Peter, right? Anybody get upset when you see somebody just Let's say they use the Lord's name in vain. Call upon the Lord, and in the very next words out of their mouth, it's cursing. Anybody get upset with that? Yeah. How do you react? Yes, that is true. They do a lot of things with no thoughts of what they're. Yes, sir. Yeah, and we have to understand that a lot of times we're looking at things in relationship to how we, you know, our level of growth. And we compare our level of growth and our level of knowledge to that person's. And we say, oh, they should know better. And we get upset, but not realizing how we are when God looks at us. We sin. We need his patience. We need his love. We need his guidance. And we constantly do things over and over again that upset him. And yet he has patience. Remember John 3:16? He says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son while we were yet sinners. So he gave his Son even while we were his enemies. That's how he changed our behavior with that love. Truth is, and I believe Brother Pons stated this earlier, is truth is not relative, it is absolute. God's word is truth. He doesn't change. So when we look at this concept of waiting on God, we have to look at not in relationship of our own thoughts, our own perceptions, our own feelings, but in relationship to we have to follow his commandments. We have to trust him enough and believe him enough to impact, to fashion our actions to say his commandments will work the situation out. It's very tough, but it's doable. But is not doable if our mindset is, yeah, this ain't gonna work on this person. This is not gonna work in this situation. I got some bad news. Doctor only gave me X amount of time to live. And we relied upon man's word, not God's word. when we look at the consequences of not waiting, we can see some biblical examples. I forgot, somebody said that, I think it was Jason, where Peter didn't wait. Saul didn't wait. 1 Samuel, you remember, know the story, 1 Samuel 13:8, Saul was supposed to wait for the prophet Samuel. And he said, hey, you got to wait for about 7 days. He'll come and he'll offer the burnt offering, and that way you can go out there and face your enemy. Where is Samuel at? He's taking too long. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and offer this offering. He went ahead, took matters into his own hand. He did that which God told him not to do. He wasn't authorized to do it. I think Brother Cody talked about authorization last week as part of our faith, recognizing authority. As a result, God took the kingdom, the rule, away from him. We looked at David. He didn't wait. He saw a beautiful woman on the rooftop. God said, hey, you didn't have to do that. You could have asked me. I would have gave you somebody even more beautiful than Bathsheba. As a result, he had strife in his family. His son died. Uzzah. Now, we can identify with Uzzah. Here is the precious, precious. What did Uzzah do? They're moving what? The Ark of the Covenant. It's the presence of the Lord, right? And it's about to fall. Uzzah's like, oh, no. Who in here would, if they saw the ark about to fall, who in here would not try to catch it or stop it from falling? You wouldn't. The command was not to touch it. Jim, and then Paul. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Paul and then. All right. Yes. And yes, Cody. Love equals obedience. And a lot of times, our faith and our actions are tied to what we practice doing. A lot of times we look at things, and even when people talk about situational ethics, and even this author, they'll cite big things. But it's the little things that, you know, it's God looks at little things as well. And our habits are formed through the little things we do each day. So that when it comes to the big things, it'll be easier for us. Yes, ma'am. Yes, it is that obedient love that, and we need to not take the world's perspective of love, the world's concept of love, and we need to look at God's concept. Love is our obedience to Him. And let me throw this out. When God allows bad things to happen, is that love? Some people don't equate that with love. That's right. A lot of times, with our paradigm, we have to do a paradigm shift. The world says, what kind of loving God would let all of this evil happen in the world? Well, there are a number of reasons. Yeah, and part of which is to help us in our belief. But when we look at sometimes God wants us to go through some things, just like Sister Katie says, to help us. Who in here knows about, anybody hear anything about tribulations, your trials worketh patience, patience worketh. So when we look at, when we say, sometimes we have to have our paradigm of, we don't pray to escape the pain. We pray that God will help us through the pain. We have to be faithful in the midst of the suffering. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord had promised to those who love him. And here's that concept of love, obedience. And we have to let this shape our, goes back to Sister Pat was saying, yeah, if we see these people, they may be digging something in our side, right? Stepping on our toes, doing something to us. But if we wait patiently through that, we suffer through that, waiting on God, and that waiting is not a passive waiting. It is still keeping His commandments. When you let somebody mistreat you for His name's sake, that's not a passive act. You have to work on your patience, right? You have to study. You have to exercise your faith that God is going to work this out. This exercising is just the putting into practice His commands. When you want to retaliate, pray for him or her. When you want to go up and just give them a piece of your mind. Say, hey, would you like to have a Bible study? Hey, we're having this fellowship at church. Hey, we're having a seminar. Would you like to come on out? Be my guest. Exercising that waiting. When we say wait on, you can also use the concept of, you know, my family and I went out to a restaurant yesterday, and the server waited on us, meaning they took instruction from us. Yeah, we want this, we want it this way, this, leave that out, blah, blah, blah. And they followed those instructions, and it was well pleasing to us. Same way with God. When we follow his instructions, it's well pleasing to him. Who in here, if they ordered, I'm speaking to my steak lovers, ordered a steak, and the waiter, waitress brought out a piece of fried tofu, would be happy with that? Nobody, right? Just as we're pleased when we get what we desire, God is so. And we have this expectation. So we don't serve just out of drudgery. We have this expectation that, hey, we're going to receive a reward, the crown of life. We have this promise because we've accepted his plan of salvation. We work, we do the things so that we can glorify him. And then in the end, he will glorify us with his son. Romans 8:18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, is working for us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. We will be glorified for all eternity for the faithfulness through the hard and difficult times. When we wait on God, when we do the things, still remain faithful, exercise our faith through that hardship, what helps us get through it is the reward. All I can do is explain heaven as a reward, relief. One word, relief. No more troubles, no more struggles, no more pain and heartache. Who in here has a job? All right. In the payment cycle. What's the payment cycle? Month? 2 weeks? Biweekly? So let's just take a month. You're going through, is the whole month all cheery and good? Or do you face some struggles throughout that month? You face some struggles, right? But when you see that check, it's like, man, whoo, it's not as bad, right? Get that reward. We, at the end of the day, we have to practice love. And that love has to be according to God's definition. We can't compromise it based upon popular opinion, even based upon our feelings. A lot of times, sometimes we adopt the kinds of, oh, God wants me to be happy. Yes, he wants you to be happy, but he also, he, before that, he wants you to be obedient. Think Paul was happy to be chained up in the innermost parts of the jail? He's already locked up. Then he has to be further locked up, chained up. And I can assume that those chains weren't comfortable. But he rejoiced. He encouraged us to rejoice as well. What would make somebody do that? That reward at the end. That's love. That's a principle of God. Well, our time is up, but keep this in mind. He tells us to feed our enemies. Give them water. If somebody abuses you, you turn the other cheek. They want to take something from you, you give them your coat also. That's the way you win them. That's the way you distribute, you just demonstrate love to God. So with that, thank you for your attention, and we will see each other next week, Lord willing.